we're being copied. They copied our Planet Dance. To hell with that. We're going to bust in on that room and just say, fire!
And they'll just go, Bomba!
Right.
That's accepted.
Yeah. Can you... That's still got some sound coming out of Richard, just so you
know. I'm turning it down. Oh, there. Okay. There we go. Oh, weird. It wasn't working for a while.
So, Renato, you were going to say something.
Oh yeah, so I remembered one thing about the Macro 7 Blu-ray box. I have seen the opening to Macro 7 millions and millions of times.
Millions?
Millions, trillions.
Wow.
I have never noticed this one thing until I got the Blu-ray.
That was a CG ship in the background. Oh, sorry, that was Macro 2.
No. If you look at the concert scene, when they all go on stage, there's a brief shot from behind Bassara's shoulder, which moves around to focus Bassara's face, right? While it's behind Bassara's shoulder, you can actually see lots of members in the crowd.
Huh.
One of the members has a Dogonjo Kairu t-shirt. I will take a screen cap and put it online somewhere.
Can you explain what that t-shirt is?
Yeah. No.
I can explain.
He can explain, yeah.
Okay, go for it.
So it's this kids animation from the 70s. And it's, I think actually, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend you, but it's really boring. I don't know if you like it or not, but it's really boring. It's really pointless. It's about a kid who trips and falls on a frog, and then the frog somehow gets embedded in his shirt, and so he has this t-shirt with a picture of a frog that talks.
And one of the first gifts I received when I first visited Japan in 93 was one of those shirts. They were big in the early 90s.
I actually wouldn't mind having one of the shirts.
That'd be cool, yeah.
Having the shirt would be cool. It's kind of like having a Scooby-Doo shirt or something, I guess.
Right.
There's something kind of neat about it, but yeah.
It's kind of like having the shirt with the Superman sign.
Because
it's meta, right?
Right, yeah. Which, actually, I did have a Superman costume when I was a little child. And,
but then you fell on a frog? And...
No, but I was walking down the street and one of the neighbor kids thought that I was actually... She was like, Mom, Superman's in our front yard!
That reminds me.
Oh, yeah. You got a Tiger Bunny shirt.
Why are you wearing your Halloween costume?
Because I have no other opportunity to wear it, thanks to you bastards.
What? What have we got to do with it?
Yeah.
Well, because this was my costume.
It was a Halloween party.
So, and now I have to wear it every other place because I can't actually wear it out in public.
Why can't you wear it out in public?
Because I would be in costume. People would love
it. So Renato has a Tiger and Bunny t-shirt that makes it look like he's wearing the armor.
Yeah, obviously people would confuse me with the real wild tiger.
I mean, you just look so much like Cortez.
Yes.
Okay. So let's break this down here. There have been a couple of concerts as of recently, and I don't want to go into them in too much detail because honestly we are running out of time, but it's got to be said, Firebomber 2012, it's been 3 years since we've had a Firebomber gig, and this was very, very much as the music culture, as much as FB7, a part of the 30th anniversary. It was a big set of gigs. They played Tokyo and they played Osaka. And it was, the first time they've been on stage together since 2009, late 2009, when they played at CC Lemon Hall.
Well, they were on stage together at the last Malay night.
Yeah. Well, really yeah. Well, I mean, it wasn't as Firebomb as such, and Chi had picked the songs he could play. But but this was, this was FB, and as we call it now, we just say it's Fukuyama Band. And the great thing is, Fukuyama's finally caught on, or some of his staff have, on how to capitalize on the Firebomber name, because they just abbreviate Fukuyama Band as FB. They brand all their merchandise now with this big FB logo, and the FB logo looks better than half of the Firebomber merchandise that comes out. So everyone goes for the Fukuyama Band logo over the Firebomber logo. But so it was at, actually technically at CC Lemon Hall, but they've changed the venue name and they've renovated it in Tokyo. I went to both gigs.
It's funny because CC Lemon Hall used to be something else as well.
Right, they keep rebranding it. Yeah. I went to Tokyo and Osaka. Adrian, you came with me to the Tokyo gig. Did either of you guys?
No. I didn't go.
No, you didn't make it. All right, well, Adrian, it's on you and
I
me.
I was in Australia.
Poor bastard. So Renato was standing.
Oh, wait. No, before that, I met Craig Norris. Dr. Craig Norris at Tasmania University. Cut a long story short. There was a manga studies symposium at Monash University a couple of weeks ago.
You talked about Kamajin.
And, yeah, the very, very first slide that Dr. Craig Norris put up on his presentation, his keynote speech, was Kamjin in his officer's battle pod attacking the Winter Palace as part of the Russian Revolution, which, of course, became this big, huge meme.
Because, it got into some university entrance exams in Queensland, I think it was.
Yeah.
And I showed that to a couple of Japanese Macross fans I met at the Firebomber gig. And they were laughing their asses off. It was great.
Unfortunately, in all of the news articles about it, they're saying, oh, well, it's a Battletech thing.
Right, yeah. It's like, well...
So not even Robotech. Battletech is more popular than Robotech now somehow.
It's like well-researched news articles, as always. But... Right. Craig's a good guy. I met him back when I was in university, and he was on a street corner wearing a Sailor Moon outfit, but that's a whole other story. So moving on, Firebomber.
Hey, sorry, listen to this. He listens to this show.
I've asked him to. I didn't know he did. He used to listen to my old podcast.
Oh, okay.
But, well, Craig, great work. Keep up the Behind Anime Lines music podcast or broadcast that you guys do. So all promotions aside, let's move back to Firebomber. So... It was terrible weather, wasn't it, Adrian? It was absolutely shitty
just
weather.
Just like today.
Yeah.
Nice and rainy mist, not heavy, just rain.
And we got there. The merchandise line, people were there 4 or 5 hours in advance, as you expect. So I gave up on it. I thought, look, if I get merchandise, I'll get it in Osaka. There'll be less people. Had a look at the line. It's like, no, it's too full. So we got in there. There was... And this is hilarious. Remember the... fan gig we talked about a while back where there was some fans doing Firebomber covers, the really good fans doing Macross Plus, and then the fans doing was the one gig. Remember that? No?
What was it called? It had a special name that night. It wasn't Macross Plus.
Sound Attack.
Yeah. Well, that was really, really good because you've never seen Macross Plus
done
concerts.
By fans, and it was done really well.
Or those songs. I mean, they performed lots of songs on the piano.
Well, you remember the guy dressed as a Five Elk and how his costume gradually broke?
Yes.
He turned up to this concert to see it wearing a leather jacket and the mask. As Adrian's got a picture, that's all he had left was the mask of the Five Elk. And I got him to let me try it on.
Yeah.
And I couldn't see. I couldn't breathe.
But this
I
was guy
like,
was singing,
he was singing
guitar.
For an hour! I'm like, how did you do this? But he said you can make them really easy, but it was a great Firebomber mask. So he was there taking pictures... Five Valks, thank you, mask. He was there taking pictures with people. They had some of the new Ichiban Kuji figures on display, including Adrian.
Well, there was Sarah, Sharon Apple, redhead Sharon Apple.
Sounds important.
Short hair Ishtar. Hopefully the secret will be long-haired Ishtar, hopefully.
Right. Okay, people milled about, and while I was in the lobby, I was talking to some of the Japanese Macross fans, and one of them came over and he's like, quick, have a look at the door. So we snuck over to the door, and Sakurai Tomo was there. She'd come for the concert, and of course, you know, Japanese being all polite, we're just like sneakily trying to look at her. I tried to take pictures, and they all came out blurry because I was trying to take them sneakily. But I've got a picture of her rushing up the stairs looking like she's running away from some scandal after a rendezvous in a hotel room with UN Spacey or something. And she was there. And so we went into the concert. And Tokyo and Osaka, because you know, the day after I went down to Osaka, were really different. Absolutely different. And I hate to say this, but I actually think of Tokyo as the warm-up for the Osaka gig. And the reason is Tokyo was seated. Everyone had seats. You could stand up, you could sit down. I don't have a problem with this. I love sitting down because people cheer too much in Japanese concerts. But the Osaka one was standing room only, no seats. And as a result, people got way more pumped up and really into it. And they had less sound issues as well. So I will post the actual set list on the Macross World forums shortly. But we got a pretty... well, fairly standard set list. You know, we got Planet Dance, the Holy Lonely Night, all New Frontier, Light the Light, all the normal ones. We also got, well, the biggest disappointment for me was the missed chance with Chia, because Chia was there, of course, but she did, initially she came on with Fukuyama, did Planet Dance and Holy Lonely Night, and then went off stage. And then Fukuyama went on and did like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 songs without her. So it was basically like a Fukuyama gig. Then she came back on and did 3 songs by herself. She did Sweet Fantasy, she did My Friends, and she did Pillow Dream.
What about Emma?
Oh yeah, good point. Leading
I am
into,
only pointing this out because I'm seeing it in right here.
I was actually forgetting it. Yeah, before Pillow Dream, she led into Pillow Dream by doing a verse of Imo, and having Chia stand on the stage and just do Imo by herself was pretty darn amazing. And once again, that question we've all had. Is she going to do a Macross cover album? Because she's done Diamond Crevasse. She's done Do You Remember Love. Now she's done some of Imo, and they've all been amazing. And she just... These things are never captured. So I really hope she does a cover
album. Was this version a cappella?
Yes. It was just her standing on stage, right, Adrian, from memory? Just... Yeah, no, there was no music to it.
I think there was music.
At least not the beginning. She started off, and then... I was pretty sure it was all like a cappella, actually.
No, I think it started off with some music, and then she sang Imo to it. Because everyone was like, okay, what's this song?
And well, in that case, maybe in Osaka it was a cappella, because I remember her doing it with no music. But it was impressive. So she did those, then she left again. Fukuyama came back out and did another 5 songs. He did My Soul For You, Dynamite Explosion, Burning Fire, and Burning Fire is always amazing live. I can talk about it forever. He did Starlight Dream, he did Angel Voice, which is great, the audience got into it. Then she came back on, they did Totsugeki Love Heart together. Then there was, they went off after 20 songs in total, came back for the encore. And the encore, the first one I was expecting, they did Virgin Story. Because the whole concert, like, where's Virgin Story? First song of the encore, there were 2 songs, was Virgin Story. And let me stress this, that song is one of the few songs designed from the ground up as a duet, not as a bus or a song, old or new, with Milene doing backing vocals. It was a duet for the two of them. Having them do on stage really made me wish they'd do more new songs, focusing less on Basara and more as a duet. It had the best sound mixing of any song in the concert by far. They did that.
Magic Rhapsody was also the same.
Yeah, it was.
And they did do that live a couple of years ago. But obviously not this time, right?
Right, no, they didn't.
That's a shame.
And then Megumi came on as a special guest. And the three of them, no main, did the Nyan Nyan Fire medley. Which was really, really good. Because minimum synthesizer. All that synth was done with electric guitars. Because Fukuyama Band was on stage.
Yeah.
So it was all electric guitars. And it was... More
both bands on stage.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It was Fukuyama Band and Chia's band.
Okay.
On stage together.
Because when Chia performed, it was her band. It wasn't... what's his name was...
Fukuyama?
No. The keyboardist.
Oh, Ponchan?
Ponchan. He was the only one that stayed for Chia. The rest, it was her bassist, her guitar player, her drummer.
And I don't want to be a negative Nancy here, but having them side by side really makes you realize... I mean, Chia's band is fine. They're the people who cooperate with her. But they are so amateur compared to Fukuyama Band.
Really?
Like, because they're used to backing him up, I suppose, with Jam Project stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like, those... I mean, his main guitarist has his own career now. He's doing his own albums and stuff, so...
And they all are.
His hair is gradually becoming more and more like Fukuyama, so he's like a doppelganger. But, so, yeah, they came on, they did this version of Nyan Nyan Fire, where there was more Chia, a little bit more Fukuyama, and a lot of Megumi. And she was great. Yeah, they only did the one song, unfortunately, but it was really, really good. So
I can tell that she's great.
Well, I'll get to that. So then I went down to Osaka, and honestly, my biggest disappointment, apart from the music, was the merchandise list was pathetic. There was a t-shirt, which was not particularly good. There was like a bag to carry your merch in, which had all the character names on. The best thing was one of those sports towels, which was a Fire Bomber concert towel. It had the Fire Bomber logo, the names, the date. So I got one of those. There was no booklet for the concert. There was nothing much at all. But I went down to Osaka, and in Osaka, one smaller venue, I got my Osaka tickets through a friend who was a Japanese member of the fan club who had one extra. So I was about five or six people from the front. So it was a really good position. And the sound mixing was better. Because it was a smaller venue, you know how Chia's voice tends to get lost when there's lots of electric guitars? Like at the crossover live, she stopped the song. This time around, smaller venue, it was really good. You could hear her really well. Everyone was jumping up and down. Like, there was one girl next to me who, at the end of the concert, apologized to me for going too hardcore and jumping up and down and bumping into me and probably slapped me in the head with a glow stick a few times. And she actually apologized afterwards, which was hilarious. And it was the exact same set list, which is a bit of a disappointment. You know, because my thing was, Tokyo was really hard to get into for this gig. And I applied for Tokyo. I didn't want to apply for Osaka as well in case I got both. But I ended up contacting my friends in the fan club and saying, look, could you, if you have a second spare ticket for Osaka, I'll buy it off you. Because I didn't know if I get Tokyo. But then I got Tokyo, but I already committed to buying their ticket. So I was like, it's going to be the same set list, but I'll do it anyway. I ended up flying down. I stayed up all night after the Firebomber concert, drinking, got on the plane at 6:30 in the morning and flew down, which was crazy.
That is crazy.
But, and then I crashed for a few hours and next morning I caught the Shinkansen back up. But it was, how do I put it? It was the exact same set list. It just, the chemistry was better and the fans went off more and there were more people in costume. I came across a few Basaras, one with no hair. Like, he had flat hair, so I was like, what the hell happened to Basara? But anyways, good concert. It's probably... During the Osaka concert, they did mention that they were recording and that we might be caught on film. Okay. So there is a chance of a DVD to come out of this, but it was good. You can never have too much fiber on the line. Also, that was on the weekend. So that was the weekend of the 23rd and 24th of November. Then the week after that, on a Thursday, we had Megumi Nakajima's 5th anniversary live. So it's been 5 years since, when you think about it, you know, Macross Frontier is now 5 years old. And that's kind of impressive when you think about it. Do I have anything I can hold here? No.
You mean?
I've got the booklet here from Megumi. So,
I've seen it.
Well, I thought you were going to take a picture.
We've all been looking at this booklet quite a bit for two very, very good reasons.
One's...
yes.
Yeah, heck yes. She did a booklet for her 5th anniversary concert, and it's really kind of, I don't know about risque, but she's wearing really short shorts. Really short shorts.
Who wears short shorts?
This booklet was popular, to say the least. Her merchandise was popular. I got to the venue an hour before the concert. Like, they didn't let us in until an hour before the concert. And I didn't get there early because I didn't want to stay in line. I thought, they said on the website they were going to be selling merchandise in the concert when they opened the doors. The line went to the end of the lobby, up three flights of stairs to the third floor, and lapped the third floor of the concert hall. I managed to get into the concert literally 2 minutes before it started.
Yes.
And get this booklet, which I was really happy about. Now
we can tell some of the pages are quite sticky. Oh, wait.
Renato, wow, I'm impressed. Now I hadn't intended to go to the Megumi concert. I heard about it. I walked into the konbini and said, if there's a ticket left, I get in. If there's not, I don't. I'm not going to go into any great trouble. I did get in. As such, it was the very back row of the concert hall. It was the very back row of the concert hall, but the end of an aisle. So I could just sit on the back of the seat.
Yeah.
and just chill. So it was really cool. But being her anniversary, and I haven't caught up with any really many of her new songs, I was concerned I wouldn't know many of her tracks. But she did a lot of Macross. I've got a set list here. She's 9 Macross songs, including a rendition of Do You Remember Love? And maybe 80% of her other songs were from her first couple of years, so I knew them all. Like Sunshine Girl and Shining On, things like that.
Be Myself.
Yeah, Be Myself. You know, not much of her newer stuff was there. But Bansan, you were there.
Yeah.
At the concert. Where were you sitting?
Second floor.
Second floor?
Yeah.
Okay. And what did you think of the concert?
It was a good concert, and the first and the ending magic scene is so good, and I've been not going such a concert, a whole concert like that. The last concert I watched before Nakajima-san's concert was Level 42, Pat Metheny concert was the last one, and I was surprised in the Nakajima-san's concert because Moving Light is so beautiful, and looks like the LED, using the LED, and I was about 25 years ago, I first watched the Moving Light, those are called Body Light at that time. And nowadays the light is so brilliant and glittering, so beautiful, and the songs were so good, and especially I liked the lighting, because the song called Koi, and the lighting color was lapis lazuli. How to say lapis lazuli in correct pronunciation?
Lapis lazuli.
Yes. Because the character, that was a song from Sacred Seven, and the character, Nakajima-san was played. Nakajima-san played was Luri. Luri-iro is lapis lazuli in English. So that color was used. And I remember. Do you remember Love? Lighting was jade.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Reminds me of Ranka's hair color.
Right.
That was so good.
It was a good version.
Right. And I said to you, the guitarist is Hatsune Miku's guitarist.
Right.
Especially Kansha Sai guitarist, or the Sanks, the guitarist. He went to Nokia Theater. The same person.
Okay. Well, I forgot to mention the theme of the concert was Mega Magic, so it was themed after a magic show. So it started off with them bringing a box on stage, person sized box with nothing in it, doing a magic trick, and they opened it again and Megumi was in there, and they did the same thing with her going off. So it was this constant magic kind of theme, which was cute. But I think particular standouts, I mean, she did What About My Star, which I wasn't really expecting, along with, you of course, Do You Remember Love. But we got most of the regulars. I mean, Hokago Overflow went down really well. And, of course, she did the Nyan-Nyan, what do you call it, the commercial medley. You know, like Ninjin Loves You, yeah, and all those, and they're always fun. But, yeah, no, it was a good concert. I was not expecting, 5 years after the fact, so many Macross songs. I mean, you might say that's natural that she'd do them, but remember Fukuyama's anniversary concert. I mean, naturally he's got a much bigger back catalogue, but still, he barely did any Macross songs at all. The same kind of goes with Main. I kind of thought Megumi would avoid them a bit more, but I'm really happy she didn't. Now, Adrian, I got to apologise. I skipped over you. Impressions of Fire Bomber. Was there anything about the concert?
No, not really. Fire Bomber's Fire Bomber. It's badass.
There's a box quote.
That's basically all there is to it. And yeah, the performance is great. I mean, I think you're a little more iron-fisted when it comes to what they should have played and when they should have played it. And it was better at this performance or that performance, but I see it as... I live in Japan and I get to see Firebomb like 8 times now. Awesome.
And it never gets less awesome. That's the thing.
No, I mean, and the thing I like about it is they tend to... I mean, obviously they're always going to play their main hits, like Planet Dance and stuff, but they'll alternate different songs, so it's not always the exact same set.
Right.
Yeah.
Although, it has to be noted that by this point in time, the Firebomber standard versions for concerts are always based on the Fukuyama Fire versions of that album, which is a great album. I have no complaints with it, but... yeah, by the first chord of the guitar, you always know which version it's going to be.
Yeah.
You like which song it's going to be. You know?
Well, that's the ones that they've kept rehearsing, because it's the same band.
Right. Right, you know, true. But all right, now, I think that's enough music news. Apart from the fact that in late February, Planet Cradle and Wandering, the opening and ending songs of Macross 30 by, what's her name, Haruka Chigusa, are going to come out as a single, because this was announced along with the new trailer for Macross 30, which actually has some footage. I was pretty impressed by what I saw. Has everyone seen the trailer?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. And I'm not into games at all. I have not played any of the Macross games. I don't really feel like I need to, but that Macross 30, the trailer looked pretty damn good.
Right. No, so I mean the basic setup, which has been reported on now, is that you've got this member of the SMS, Leon, who is assigned to go to Ouroboros, or in the vicinity of Ouroboros, this planet which has a fold anomaly, which means it kind of goes in and out of a fold, and as such it goes to different time periods, but it's near the center of the galaxy, and he gets shot down by, according to the text on the website, some unknown enemy. But if you look at the trailer, it's very obviously three ghosts, and Sharon Apple is a major enemy in this game, so it's pretty obvious he got shot down by Sharon Apple. So he crashes on this planet, and because it keeps folding in and out of places, he can't get off it, not immediately at least, and there are these ruins on the planet, and he gets assigned to help investigate these ruins. And I'm presuming what happens is, as the planet, as the ruins get activated, apparently they get activated by songs, gradually different people from the Macross timeline find themselves on this planet. Now,
sounds quite similar to Orcus.
Yeah, it sounds pretty similar.
The ceiling thing that you're not allowed to get out of is right there as well.
It has a lot of Super Robot War kind of feeling to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's basically a Dream Team game. But what got me was, from the trailer, they're playing on the character interactions. So, yeah. You know, I mean, you had this throwaway line, you hear Ozma saying, so I heard Basara has turned up. And I'm just like, oh, can you imagine?
Ozma meets Basara.
Yeah, yes. Finally, Ozma meets like, you don't know if that happens or not, because you just hear him asking someone, you know. And you hear Gold, like, talking about, he's like, oh, the pilot of that YF-19, he's more dangerous than reaction weaponry. And you're like, then you hear a yahoo! It's like, okay, it's, you know. You hear Milane talking, it seems like she's fighting her parents, she's fighting Max and Miria. And then when you look at the character relationship chart, there are a lot of characters who are being brainwashed by Sharon Apple.
Yeah, and then like what, Minmay, Ronka, and who else were been taken hostage?
Right, yeah, that's true. I've actually got that very file I did somewhere here. Let me bring it up. But yeah, they also show a fair bit of... Well, the characters, there's just a bunch of characters in this game. The only outstanding omission seemed to be awesome. Fokker.
Right.
Yeah, sorry, here's the... It's not the best map, but...
Oh, and Mume, okay.
So this is the character chart for who does what, and... Yeah, so you've got Hikaru and Misa trying to save Minmay.
Right.
And the big, one of the huge revelations of that trailer for me, even though the 2 weeks before in Famitsu they listed Ijima, right, Mari Ijima, as being Minmay, was you hear her and she did that voice really well.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, let's be honest, she doesn't sing as Minmay all that well anymore. She sings well as Mari, not necessarily as Minmay. Right. But she did that voice really well. I was like, at first I heard it, I'm like, wow, the Hikaru they got in sounds terrible, but the Minmay one sounds like the real thing. Wait a minute, oh, that's right. So that was, you know, really cool. But yeah, and you've got, you know, Isamu with Sarah, you know, and they're pushing back against the minions of Sharon Apple, which includes Max and Miria, which is means that, you know, that's game over, man.
And Ganlin.
Whatever. Oh, Ozma. Oh, no, Captain Wilder. You've got Captain Wilder under Sharon's control. I mean, that means they're going to have surfing.
Pretty much all the Frontier people are under Sharon's control.
Clans are bad. I'm going to shoot Clan down. What do you think of that, Adrian? Shoot Clan down.
Which clan?
Oh, it looks like which small clan.
Well, then, gives a shit.
She won't be piloting, then.
Other interesting things I thought, character-wise, were that... The singer of the opening song, like, so the winner of the Miss Macross 30 competition actually ended up getting one of the main heroine roles in the game, which is kind of interesting.
So she really did better than the actress.
Than the actress one, who they didn't think was an outright winner, and they shoehorned in, and her role was, and we didn't mention this when we mentioned music culture, her role was to come on basically and do commercial breaks in between plot points, where she reenacted Ranker's role.
Yeah, so she just came out and did ads while they were changing the sets behind her.
So she came out in the bikini and did the construction company one. She did, like, Ninjin Loves You, Yeah, and all that. It was just kind of really bizarre. It was like, they had to pick someone for it. But yeah, so... yeah, Chigusa did really better. A lot better than the actress wing winner. Gameplay wise though, for this game, I mean, I gotta be honest, and I've said this before, Renato, did you play the PSP games?
Yeah, I love them.
You love them?
Yeah.
I mean, so I've never been a huge fan of the control setup, I've got to admit.
I think that's
just me.
I've heard your opinion. Your opinion is that the PS2 game is better, right?
I think control wise, yeah. It felt weightier, and there was less left to chance. Yeah. You kind of knew what you were doing at all times.
Maybe, but I tend to disagree because I just like the speed and responsiveness of the PSP games.
Right.
It's the slow gameplay of the PS2 game just didn't do anything for me.
Well, with this game, it seems to be almost in between the two, though, because the world seems so open. When you're flying throughout the world, it seems a bit slower. But it's you fly to a point on the map, get a mission, and this is the thing, of course. Once you get into a mission, you're corridored, because I saw bits in... missions are where you actually fight the bulk of enemies, and suddenly you've got those big see-through red warning signs when you hit the barriers of the stage, which I was hoping they'd get rid of. But hey, if you could do that, then you could get a sniper rifle, fly far away from the battle, and just pick everyone off. So I suppose...
I think there's going to be many, many more possibilities for gameplay styles than on just the PSP games, because you've got the added side quests and all these things.
Yeah.
It's sort the of races. This through races as well. This is the game that I thought that they would never release, but here they are.
And with the races, really minor point, but I know in those initial screenshots they showed Armored 1 with a Valk in front of it in Gerwalk mode, and the scale looked completely off. And now in race mode you see a Valk come down and go over Armored 1, and it looks almost to scale. I was like, wow, that's really cool. I'm impressed. And just being able to fly around the world freely, I mean, hasn't that been what we've all wanted to do since the NES game?
Yes, and also the world itself, I'm
very, very impressed by it. I've liked the design of it since the very first screenshots that we got.
Those design
the floating island type things.
The Macro Zero ruins. Stuff.
Yeah, well, no. No, I really like the designs of the...
of the planet.
Yeah, the planet.
And it looks like you actually might get to play the part before Leon gets shot down, because there are some screenshots of him flying in space above the planet, which I'm presuming is probably before he gets shot down.
Really? I thought that was just animated cutscene.
No, well, there are screenshots of you flying in space above the planet, so I was like, huh. And yeah, you can... Well, they say you can develop your own mech, but what that basically will probably amount to is flying around getting the necessary parts to put together a mech. But I mean, just from the screenshots we've seen, they've got like every variation of the 19 alone. You start off with a Zero. That's your starting mech, so you're going to be a bit chunky and bulky and slow, and then gradually work it on from there. And just, I hope they do play up the character interactions, because you hear Shin in that clip, and he's like, I will not accept this world or this future. And you're like, oh, Shin doesn't kind of realize at this point that the human race got wiped out. Like, that's what I'd expect him to say.
Yeah, I mean, it seems this whole fold anomaly thing, it came up once before, just after they announced Macross Frontier, and before they actually showed any footage, they said the story was going to revolve. It was going to be a love story, which would revolve around some fold anomaly, and of course that turned out to be just the fold fault thing, and then you needed the fold quartz to go over that. Some bullshit. But I thought it was going to be like, okay, they're going to interact with Minmay and all these things, and they never did. Even during episode 10. In the teaser for episode 10, when they went back to the island from Mac Zero, I thought, okay, they're gonna go back in time, and now the story is really gonna kick off. And it wasn't. And then even at the end of episode 13 or whatever it was, when they see the SDF-1 in the ruins on that Galaia 4 planet, they were like, oh, okay, now this is the real fold discrepancy thing, and the whole timeline is gonna be screwed up now. Yes. And well, they still didn't do that. So this is the thing that I've been waiting for, where they mix everything up.
Well, they kind of did that a little bit for the Frontier radio show.
Right.
Because they had the Super Dimension Theater, and it was Megumi Nakajima talking with various Macross actors. So Isamu meets her, and of course comes onto her. there was another one where they actually like hook up some radio to the past and end up talking with Arias from Macro Zero, you know. So that had some of it.
Okay.
I guess.
Well, I know that, yeah, I mean, you in, what was it, the Another Century's episode games, you had Shin come back and interact with, like, with Frontier characters and things like that. And, you know, it's all unheard of, radio dramas and things like that. It just sounds like fun, and I'll be honest, I'm surprised we're getting it, because the Macross boom is over. Like, the Frontier boom is dying down.
Well, you keep saying that, but all day we've been listening to these Macross fans singing.
But
Macross
this is
songs.
A hardcore kind of... There's three rooms here. This is a hardcore gathering. You know, you have to book these things in advance. I'm not saying it's not popular, but I'm saying the boom, the bubble, has died off. And there's a lot of money in this game, and my personal hope, and this is completely pie in the sky stuff, is that now they've got the tech down, the engine down, that they can cut costs by not having recurring characters. They can make original characters like Leon or whatever. And now we've got the tech, and we're at the end of the generation. They need to keep the PS3 alive as long as possible, because goodness knows Japan is being slow on the HD gaming uptake this generation. They can get out some side stories, some original stuff that doesn't hinge on, you know, existing cast members and stuff. That would be really great, because I know I've said before that if they can't afford to do new OVAs or series, what did they do in the PC Engine era? They used games, which was a cheaper alternative, to tell these unique stories, which took some effort to get the story out of, but
there's,
if you wanted them,
new Type Ace though.
Yeah.
There was back in the day. Well, it is, there's which didn't have any Macross this month.
And I read that, and so this is the first issue of New Type Ace that I have skipped.
Me too, exactly.
But But even then, it's like, what's in there? I mean, okay, so Macross the First, which is a good reason to get it. And then the Macross Fortissimo, which is really
but
just
apparently it's,
lame.
It actually does fill in. It's supposed to actually occur, unlike a lot of the Frontier manga.
Yeah, I know. It happens between the two movies, but it's not telling anything terribly interesting.
Well, and then there's the supplemental booklets, which I think
are... Yeah, no, those are good too, yeah. But those are in every issue.
Right, so this is the first issue I haven't gotten as well. But
anyway, those are written by Soichi Tsuji-san, by the way, who we met at the Gengaten signing. He came up to us. I don't know if you remember. Mm-hmm. Well, I talked to him. I talked about him.
Yeah, you're talking about previously.
In a previous podcast.
Mm.
He works for Kadokawa, and he has been writing promotional pieces for Macross since the original movie.
So I mean, look, there's not really much point in speculating further on the game at this point. I think, you know, Fokker's a disappointing oversight, unless he's a surprise character, since Kamiya can still do that voice. Yeah, that's...
But wasn't he hospitalized a few months ago?
Yeah,
true.
I never heard about what happened after that.
Guys, I think that's honestly about it as far as news. I mean,
gosh, you think how long have we been here?
Too long. Yeah, we've had FB7, we've had music culture, we've had Firebomber gigs,
well,
Megumi gigs, we've got game news. Yeah,
admittedly, this is December 15th that we were recording this. We were initially supposed to do it, what, about a month ago?
Yeah.
And then for various reasons, things fell through.
I got sick.
Until now, so we're really playing more catch up than we ordinarily would.
We are, but I mean, this is the tail end of the 30th, although right. They are dragging it out, those new figures with the Ishtar figure. They're calling them a 30th anniversary.
Well, to be honest, the 30th anniversary really began in October.
I know.
Right.
That's
yeah, and I mean, think about it. Frontier, the DeCulture episode, I mean, hadn't even aired 5 years ago. That was on December 22nd, my birthday.
I cried on your birthday.
What?
I said I cried on your birthday.
I'm sure Richard cried
when
on his
I watched
birthday.
The DeCulture edition.
Right.
I was crying, man.
Yeah, and then the series itself.
No, you need to clarify that. Now.
Is that a joke? What?
No, he cried.
No, I cried. All those homages in the DeCulture edition. That was fucking awesome. That was exactly what I needed. I had spent the last 2 years working in an animation school where everyone was like, "Oh yeah, watch the original Macross." About 2, 7, 0 Dynamite. When was the last one they made? Was it just a movie? Professionals telling me this shit. So when that first episode came out, they did the Isamu, all that shit. I was like, oh. You see the Mega Road launch? Tears, crying.
There you go.
Alright.
Yeah. A man can feel, even when Ishtar is not involved.
But sorry, it's going to be, yeah, so the 25th anniversary really didn't get going until the very end of the year, and then didn't really get going until early 2008.
But I suppose they didn't keep actively calling it the 25th, whereas they've been calling the 30th since January.
Right.
Whereas what we're looking at now is actually more like an 18-month 30th anniversary as a result, if we're all the way through the next one.
They were calling it the 25th, and that's... they were banking mostly on re-releases of... of the old shows.
Yeah, they're
like
doing the DVD remasters.
The DVD remaster of Macross 7 was the first thing to come out, and that had the little 25th anniversary sticker on it.
Right.
Then they released the original series. Then they released I think they released Do You Remember Love First?
Yeah, Do You Remember Love came out when I was visiting.
It came out just at around the same time as... The DeCulture version.
It was the same day, I think, actually.
It could have been,
Because both of them were my birthday.
And that's why I think there's such a disparity between that version that says it's remastered on DVD and the later one that we got this year in Blu-ray, because they put a lot of Frontier money that they weren't expecting to get into re-remastering it.
Right.
Because let's face it, that is not an upscale of what they released on DVD, unlike Macross 7, which was.
Alright. Well, yeah, who knows? By next October, we may well have something new animated announced. You know, But it's been... This is the tie-up of all the events. We're kind of at the tail end event-wise, as far as we know. I mean, next up, we've got Milan Night 3 in February, and we've got the Valk in Osaka, which kicks off December 22nd.
Which, again, is not the complete Valk.
Not the... No legs again.
No legs. So it doesn't kick off at all.
And on that note,
I'll be here on that.
I think we need to get the hell out of here, guys. Before we go, though, I want to throw it back to Bansan. Is there anything you would like to say to Macross World, to the guys on Macross World?
I've been watching as many animes almost on time. Gundam and Inuno were on time. Yamato was. First re-aired time, I watched that, and 3-9 is on time. Yamato, Gundam, Eden, so famous,
yeah.
But they are postponed to airing, all of them postponed to airing in the middle of the story, but only Macross was exception because prolonged the stories.
Extended, yeah.
That was so impressive, and some guys hate to hear this what I thought for Marcus, but and I'll be scolded because I something political thing I want to say is Marcus' story is just like the Komi world collapse. And after the Soviet was broke, the old regime guys was isolated, just like Centrali after episode 27. And before 7 or 8 years of the really happened in the world, Macross do the thing beforehand.
Yeah, of course.
That's why I like Macross and cleaning machine. In Macross, Do You Remember Love movie, and especially digital photo frame appears.
Yeah.
Almost the same thing was released just about 20 years after. That's
right,
surprising
right.
Thing.
Yeah, they predicted the thing.
Yeah.
And the cleaner
yeah,
thing, the cleaning robot thing.
Yeah, Roomba. Roomba,
yeah,
Roomba looks like the cleaning machine in the Macross city. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's something that
something.
Cowboy says as well, that the only thing that is in Macross that still hasn't appeared in real life,
yeah,
apart from the Valkyries, of course, is the only thing that that they failed to predict was mobile phones.
Cell phones.
That everyone would have their own mobile phone in the future.
And the Hatsune Miku concert was look like
Sharon
Apple.
Yeah, that Yokohama one where they put it on the big sheet of Europe.
That was surprisingly historical prediction.
Prediction? It is a future happened. Chronicle.
Yeah, right. That's the reason, one reason why I like Macross.
And drone planes.
Drone planes as well, yes,
right.
Of course.
Although I think by the time we get to 2040 or thereabouts, there probably will not be any manned fighter planes, so that'll seem a little quaint.
Possibly.
Anachronistic, just like having no cell phones.
But
they
were already predicting the idea that we won't have.
Right.
That we don't need human pilots.
Right.
So you're telling me Macross will continue
in the future?
Thank you. On that note, we gotta get the hell out of here because our booking's up. So this is
don't take money out.
Yeah. All right. So we Are we gonna run? Do a runner? Get out of the karaoke room and run out without paying.
Yeah. Do a runner?
Yeah, do a runner.
Boku wa mo.
Exactly. So this is Macro Speaker Podcast. Getting out of here before your eardrums burst.
Sayonara, you know, so said that.